The FBI says it is within days of concluding questioning of 11,000 Iraqis who live in the United States. The Bureau says the questioning is part of its anti-terrorism campaign, but that it is also trying to gather information that would help the war effort and help to protect Iraqis here from possible harassment. Some Iraqi U.S. citizens and legal residents say they welcome the efforts. Others resent them bitterly. They say that it damages the very freedom from oppression they came here to find. NPR's Jackie Lydon visited some of the people who got that knock on the door, Iraqis who are now a part of the fabric of American life.
I am a makeup artist, and I travel to different department stores around the D.C. and Virginia area mostly.
Eyeliner, sometimes blush, mascara. These are the tools of Narmeen Taib's day job as a makeup artist. She didn't have any of them, of course, 12 years ago, when she and other Kurds fled Saddam Hussein's lethal helicopters on foot, climbing for 6 days through the craggy Kurdish mountain ranges at the end of the Gulf War. Now in her mid-20s, she's a biology student, hoping to become an eye doctor. She's crafted a new reality in her young life. On the day we spoke to her, on her way to a job at Tyson's Corner Galleria in suburban Virginia, she'd just been visited by the FBI.
My job is to make people pretty and smile all the time and, you know, put makeup on them. And it's just weird. I feel like someone's watching me now all the time.
Someone is. And it's odd, but not unwelcome. A beauty with masses of golden brown hair waving down her shoulders and enormous blue eyes, Narmeen Taib has had not one but two encounters with the FBI.
This morning I had a meeting with the FBI at my school. What they want to know if I have a family member works for Saddam, and if I know of any terrorist attack, or if I've gotten basically threats from any people here around this area. So just questions like that. And actually, when they ask me, it makes me feel safer that that they care and they're watching us, they're around us. That's how I feel. I don't know about the other people.
Other Iraqi Americans feel betrayed to the core. Even though responding to questioning is voluntary, other Iraqis feel the way the U.S. government has gone about this, a mass sweep of thousands, calls their American loyalty into question. Perhaps worst of all, for some, is the echoes the questioning creates. Many came here to escape from Saddam Hussein and his repressive regime.
The government knows that the majority of them have no ties whatsoever with the regime in Baghdad.
Sayed Mustafa al-Kazwini is imam of the Islamic Educational Center in Orange County, California. Iraqi communities have proliferated across America, in Detroit, California, Texas, Illinois, Washington State, and that's just a partial roster. They're not monolithic in any sense. Some are Chaldean Christian, some Sunni, some Shiite, as Imam al-Kazwini is. Originally from Basra, where he was persecuted, home has been the U.S. for the past decade. Kazwini has met President George W. Bush. And yet, when FBI agents came to his community and questioned his family members in front of young children, terrible feelings came flooding back.
I lived in a culture in Iraq where every time they knock at my door, I know that there's someone outside is going to interrogate me and question me. So I come from such a culture full of intimidation and fear. I come here to find some refuge. So suddenly I find the same policy which has been implemented against me in Iraq is being done here again.
In mid-March, FBI agents carried a letter in Arabic and English to different Iraqi communities. The letter spelled out ground rules, rights, and stated that interviewees could obtain legal help. From the beginning, Iraqis were skeptical of how much useful intelligence could be provided by people who'd fled 10 and 20 years ago. But the FBI says it's made an effort to engage the Arab American community. Susan Dryden is national spokeswoman for the FBI in Washington, D.C. She refers to FBI Director Robert Mueller.
The director himself took on the lead on this and actually reached out to the Arab American community, which we've had very strong relations with since September 11th, and met with them to talk with them a little bit about what we're going to be doing and what we were here for and the purpose of this. That then filtered down to our field offices and our special agents in charge each went out and held similar meetings with their local Arab American, Muslim, and Sikh groups to talk with them again about what the purpose of these interviews are, to remind them that we are there to protect them and to help us gather information for national security.
The FBI has so far interviewed 9,000 out of 11,000 people. In Centerville, Virginia, one recent knock on the door came at the Taibbi's family home. The war front in the Taibbi family home is televised in great detail by Kurdish TV, beamed to this living room so that it feels that northern Iraq, with its mountains and Peshmerga fighters, is just on the horizon. Most of Narmeen Taibbi's family, six of eight children and both parents, fled in 1991. They were in a refugee camp in Turkey for 2.5 years, then settled in the U.S. in 1993. A traditional samovar brews tea by the fireplace. On the mantel, photos of the family frame their experience. A teenage son in an American football jersey, his father a Peshmerga fighter in the mountains, wearing traditional garb. Mahia Taibbi is the family matriarch and serves us tea. Her husband is temporarily away from home, working for an American defense contractor. He speaks 5 languages. The children, now mostly in their 20s, come and go from jobs and school. The Taibbi family feels that the FBI is protecting them. When agents came to the house, daughter Bariza said her mother, who speaks little English, welcomed the agents. But she was confused.
My mother is saying that the FBI called and left a message with my sister that they would like to visit and ask some questions. And they did come in and ask some questions, which she was not able to understand. They asked my sister, Rueda, but she was happy that they came in.
A phone call brings the war front even closer. It's her oldest son, Wahab, whom she bore at 13 in Erbil. He's remained behind in northern Iraq with his family. His sister, Bariza, takes the call. Bariza asks her brother, Wahab, if he wants to say something to visitors.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's all he says. That's all I know I can say. Thank you very much. Thank you. He said all I can say is thank you very much for you having to come and liberate Iraq. He's saying nobody knows up to now except the Kurdish people what he has done to this country.
Is he fighting? Is he a soldier or is he a businessman?
He said we're all Peshmerga, you know, the Kurdish soldiers. He said it doesn't matter who we are when it comes to war or we have to fight, we're all fighters.
But for every family like the Taibbi's, many more question the U.S. approach to information gathering. The Arab American Institute's James Zogby, the group's president, says that massive information sweeps do far more to garner publicity than information. It's Zogby's contention that it's counterproductive because it breaks down trust. The Arab American community has voluntarily come forward with useful information, he says, such as in Buffalo, New York, where an alleged terrorist cell was revealed by a tip from the Yemeni community there.
That actually was one incident where a good citizen came forward with information and provided a tip. But you know what? There are many hundreds of other episodes just like that all across the country where people have come forward with information when they have felt that something was of concern to them and gone to law enforcement. But if you actually look at the major PR initiatives that have come out of the DOJ, none of them have resulted in the arrests of anyone who's been accused of or been involved in planning an act of terror.
Zogby's criticism is that after all the hundreds of thousands of man-hours spent on the effort, the FBI knows only a little more than it did before, but the Arab community is more alienated. Zoghbi says the questions should have been based on behavioral profiles of suspicious persons, people who've come here recently and purchased one-way airplane tickets with cash, or people who have tens of thousands of dollars on multiple credit cards with no jobs, as the 9/11 hijackers did, people with no ties to the established Arab community. FBI spokeswoman Susan Dryden agrees that no arrests have been made, but insists the probe has obtained valuable information.
The information that we've gathered from the 9,000-some people that we've interviewed has been helpful to identifying some of the telecommunication systems, some of the different infrastructure that there is over in Iraq, and any potential pitfalls or problems that our military may encounter while over there.
I just want to say one last thing. As a former Iraqi, we want to get rid of Saddam Hussein, the butcher of Iraq.
On a warm April day in the blossom-scented Shenandoah River Valley, Narmeen Tayyib is the first person to talk at a speak-out on the war organized at her school, Shenandoah University. Of 20 or so young people, Narmeen Tayyib is the only student to support the war, and she's aware that many Iraqis feel torn over what may still lie ahead for families back home. But Narmeen is unequivocal.
I mean, it is war, so people will get killed. And I have family there. I care for my family too, but we'd rather get killed today by U.S. bombs than leaving Saddam in power and kill us tomorrow or the next day.
Narmeen doubts she was able to give the FBI useful information. She was only 12 when she left Iraq. She's not the only one who will be evaluating the usefulness of this process. Many questions have been raised. It's the first time the FBI has internally investigated a community in this way, and Arab community leaders point out it's a vulnerable time in which Arab Americans are wary of being singled out over and over again as potential threats. The FBI has tried to assure them that this is not the case, even inviting Arab American leaders to give input. In the words of FBI Director Robert Mueller, "We can't do it without you." Jackie Leighton, NPR News, Washington.